Will you all pray with me? Lord, we ask that you remove a flawed, broken man, and that every word spoken might be from you. The Spirit might talk, and that we might have ears to hear it, so we all can learn and walk better following your Son. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. All right, so obviously today is Easter, kind of a big day. For the past Lenten season, for the past 6 weeks, today making the seventh, we have been in a sermon series where we have been looking at the I am statements of Jesus. The reason for this is because we live in a culture where we make Jesus whoever we want him to be. Many times we end up making Jesus just a better version of ourselves, and instead of trying to figure out who Jesus says he actually is. We also know in Matthew 7, Jesus makes it pretty clear. He says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. They will say, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons? But I will say, depart from me, I never knew you. So we have this concept where we need to know who Jesus says Jesus is. And we don't need to turn our Lord and Savior into a better version of ourselves who agrees with everything we do, likes the things that we likes, and hates the people that we hate. So we need to find out who Jesus is. So we figured the best way to start would be to go where Jesus directly says, hey, I am this way. I am blank. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus makes seven I am statements that frame the gospel. And so we've been looking at these I am statements. We started off with Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Remember, in the context of that, he had just fed the 5,000. The crowd was following him the next day because they wanted more bread. They wanted another magic trick. And Jesus turned and said, all right, you want some more bread? How about you eat me? I'm the bread of life. And what he was saying there is, I've got to be your sustenance. Jesus has got to be your sustenance. Then Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And we realize that he is the revealing force in our world and in our lives. Jesus then says, I am the door. And we traced how all the doors of the Bible close from Eden to the ark to the veil. And then we get to Jesus. And Jesus opens up all the doors of the Bible, the veil, the ark, and Eden. Jesus then says, I am the good shepherd. We learned as a church that we are the sheep. And sheep have a tendency to drown in shallow water, which is just a perfect analogy for what we do on a daily basis. We also learn that Jesus leaves the 99 to get the one. He leaves the flock to chase us down. Then we got into I am the resurrection and the life, and we see that Jesus weeps with us in the hard times, even though he knows he's going to make it better in the later. Then Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that one's pretty simple, the way, the truth, and the life. And now we get to this final I am statement in the Gospel of John. I am the true vine. It comes from John 15. It is while Jesus is reclining at the table at the Last Supper where he's talking to his disciples. So let's go ahead and read this now. We'll dig into it and then we'll talk about it. So let's start John 15, verses 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servants do not know the masters what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. So this is Jesus' final I am statement in the Gospel of John. Now, I know on the surface it doesn't sound much like an Easter sermon. It doesn't sound much like an Easter scripture. But I assure you, it is. And we're going to talk about it today. But I'm also aware that we have more people here than usual. I understand that this is a big time in the church. And so we're probably speaking to roughly about three groups of people. And we're gonna talk to each. So the first group of people are the people who were drugged here by their crazy religious relative. And, you know, you would fight coming to church, but, you know, it's Easter. And it's easier to just go rather than spend the rest of the Easter lunch getting kind of elbowed by your relative saying, it was a powerful sermon. I wish you were there. And so that's the first group. The second group are the people who are kind of sitting on this fence, knowingly or unknowingly, people who aren't really ready fully to commit to the whole Jesus thing, but know that there's something to church and to the gospel and to God, but not really ready to commit. And then this third group of people, which is the church, broken but redeemed disciples of Christ who understand the meaning of this Easter Sunday, understand an empty tomb and a kept promise, formerly known as crazy religious relatives. So let's start off here with talking to the first group of people, the people drugged here by their crazy religious relative. Two things to know about this teaching and Easter in general. First, we got to ask ourselves, who is this vine dresser? Who is this person who sustains the vine and prunes the vine and chops off branches? Well, it's God the Father. Now, what does God matter to Easter? We talk about Jesus a lot. We mention God in there. But what does God specifically matter to Easter? Well, to understand that, we got to get into some common cliches, but they're cliche for a reason. It's good to know the most popular verse of the Bible, pretty much the thesis statement, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus so that all that believe in him might not perish but have eternal life. Now, I know that sounds cliche. We're going to get even more cliche, because this is proof that God loves you no matter what. Jesus had nails in his hands and he was hung to a tree out of love for you. Now, I know the response back is, isn't God mad or something? Seems like a lot of times people preach or talk, God always seems mad. But man, this is a time where we celebrate Jesus Christ offering up as a sacrifice to absorb that anger, that justice from God, so that anyone, any one of us, no matter what we have done or left undone, might see that God, this vine dresser, loves you more than you know what love is. That message right there is called the gospel. But it is preached and practiced by broken people who too often turn it into a 401k plan that we'll cash in after we retire. We make it fire insurance. We try to sell people heaven so that they don't go to hell, rather than what Jesus Christ has done for you and the love of God the Father. Now, the second thing we got to understand to my group number one is, who is this person claiming to be the vine? Who is this vine? Who is this person saying that apart from me, you can do nothing? It's a pretty cocky statement. Well, you probably guessed it. It's Jesus. Most Sunday school answer in the world. Now, we know why Jesus matters to Easter. it's kind of all about him. He rose from the dead. Now, this is important, though, because this part right here, Easter, the resurrection, is where Jesus goes from just being a good dude and a good moral teacher to either the Son of God or a lunatic, and there's no in between. The resurrection, if he rose from the dead, it proves that he is who he said he is, which is the Son of God. It also means that all of those seven I am statements that we just talked about have to be true if the resurrection happened. So if that's true, then there's something bigger than us, and we have to lay down our life to something much bigger than our five senses. All right. Now, to all my crazy religious relatives out there, stop elbowing the person next to you. Okay? We're going to talk about us in a second. But first, let's talk about to all my fence sitters. So to my fence sitters, those who haven't fully committed, knowingly or unknowingly, if you are a branch, you must bear fruit. Otherwise, the vine dresser prunes the branch off the vine. Now, that sounds harsh and legalistic, and I can already hear my group number one saying, okay, here we go, rules and regulations, boxes to check, all the things about religion. But hold on, hold on. Give the message a chance. Because here's this little secret that we don't like to talk about all that much. There is no fence sitting when it comes to the gospel. You're either in or you're out. You're a fisherman or Pharisee. You're either dead or alive. So pruning off a dead branch off a live vine makes sense, because the two can't coexist. See, but we've changed the meaning of what being alive in Christ is. We've changed the meaning of what bearing fruit is, because fruit isn't about church attendance, tithing, clean language, and a white picket fence. Fruit is about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And once you know what Jesus has done for you, once you see and experience the love of God, once you move that from philosophy to practice, you will bear fruit. If you are a branch with no fruit, you are a Christian with no Christ. All right, now my first group, stop elbowing the person next to you. We don't know. We don't know their hearts. Now let's talk to the church. To the church, broken but redeemed disciples of Christ who fall on their face every day but get up and try to follow some more. There's two challenges we see from this teaching, and there's two challenges for Easter. The first is to obey the commands of Christ. Now, this gets tricky because you don't earn salvation. This is the whole Easter thing. That's what it's about. But when you obey the commands of Christ, you find joy. See, salvation has been given. Every other religion says, hey, do this and you'll get this. Jesus Christ says, hey, I gave you this, so what you gonna do about it? We show our love to God by obeying, not because we have to, but because we love his Son, Jesus Christ. It is in this obedience that we find freedom. It's in laying down our lives that we find our lives. This is one of those paradoxes at the core of truth. It doesn't make sense till you do it, then it does. The second challenge is to abide. Abide. Abide simply means be in. Be in. And there's a stillness to abiding, a certainty in it. To abide is the goal. Now, we will fail. We will. But the goal is to make smarter mistakes as we fail. So pray often. Drink your morning cup of coffee with Christ. And know that he wants to talk to you. The risen Savior wants to talk to you. Because he lives. Now, groups 2 and 1, if you feel somebody elbowing you right now and there's nobody around, that's called the Holy Spirit. Let him in and find out what this whole Easter thing is all about. Look, whether you are in group one, two, or three, whether you don't believe and you're here because that's what we're supposed to do, whether you're sitting on the fence, not sure if you want to commit to the whole Jesus thing, or whether you've been a longtime disciple of Christ, doesn't matter. Jesus died for you, and he rose. So what are we going to do about it? Because Jesus calls us to follow and to love one another so that we might know what freedom is and joy is. So this Easter, when we celebrate the risen Christ, let's let Jesus rise again in our own lives. Let's let this be a marker, a day, where from this point on, we follow Christ. We go all in. That way, next Easter, we might experience more freedom and more joy and not worry about the mistakes in between. Will you all pray with me? Father, what a glorious day. Your son who was dead rose. More than that, you say that the same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. And we can't find strength to love our neighbors. Father, help us. Be with us. Let us see our mistakes so that we might know there's no condemnation in you, but you offer a way to get better. You offer your son to pay for our mistakes so that there is no anger between us, only love and a risen Savior with nails in his hands that prove his love for us. Help us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.